Be advised that the content of this podcast is for mature audiences due to subject matter.
You are listening to Romantic Truth with Josen, your host in Las Vegas.
Son, where'd you find this?
Hi everyone, Jocelyn with you here, Romantic Truth Las Vegas. What we're going to talk about this morning, we are talking about dealing with an insecure partner. Oh yes, many of you have written in about this, wanted to know about it, and we're going to talk about it and deal with it. This is one of the most challenging things that you will ever contend with in your dating and romantic lives. Now, there are five key components that you have to be mindful of in dealing with an insecure person. Identifying the problem, supporting the individual, setting boundaries, healthy boundaries, of course, spending quality time with the person, and lastly, avoiding manipulation by that individual. These five things are very important for you to manage in the relationship. Now, I've posted an article pertaining to this on facebook.com/romantictruth, so you can like and follow as well. We're going to go into all of these components. Now, dating someone who has issues pertaining to this is very difficult to even contend with. They lack trust. They've probably been traumatized by past relationships. They may have issues because they have gone through similar situations and circumstances. They've made some poor choices and partners in the past, put them in bad situations, and therefore, they don't trust their own judgment. They become very insecure about the decisions they make, and they may think that everybody else is out to get them when it comes to a relationship, and they want to build up these barriers to kind of secure their feelings. So they won't be hurt. In other words, they don't trust themselves well enough to make decisions on their own anymore. And so they put up these huge boundaries in order to protect them from anybody else. Now, some of the characteristics that are problems with these kind of relationships is that that partner may feel as though if they invite someone into their lives, they may be looked upon as an adversary. Couple of things that also are complementary with them. They have a lot of self-doubt. They second-guess the choices they make. They are not really sure about the partner that they've chosen. They may have speculative intentions in regards to them. They may falsely accuse them of things. All of these are based on insecurities. And where does that insecurity come from? It usually comes from low self-esteem. Because, see, every time a person fails in a relationship, their self-esteem takes a blow, whether they want to admit it or not. And sometimes they have stayed at the relationship that was really toxic too long. And what it's done is lowered their self-esteem and self-image in such a way that in many ways they feel devalued. And therefore, they may want to bring that person down that would come into their lives after it in order to have some sort of correlation where they both can get along with the same commiseration. Now, the problem with many of these folks is that some actually say they don't need any assistance or any help. They're fine the way they are. Now, they find it very difficult a lot of times to go on conventional dating sites in order to find people. So in order to attract people when they're lonely, some of them will use sex. Others will go to dating apps where maybe like for females, where the woman is more or less appealing to the man first. And some people think it's cool. Now, judging from some of the email that you guys have written in over the years, sites like Bumble and Clover are full of women that have a lot of issues going on, a lot of emotional baggage. As well, there are other conventional sites that have the same issue. And usually it's a result of the women staying in the relationship entirely too long when the relationship is really over. And they're putting more effort in it than it's worth. Now, with this condition of low self-esteem, they've endured some horrific things, demoralizing things. Told that they were fat, that they were ugly, that they were unattractive by their partners, maybe even some physical abuse. This is a common thing. And what happens, a lot of men run into these types of women and they realize, well, I can't fix her, maybe I can fuck her. And this is the way they look at it. And of course, this is a defeat for the woman that's really trying to look for a relationship and has gone through a lot and been traumatized. Now, unfortunately, if this is unchecked, many of these women will find themselves in those same types of relationships, even though they say they are not interested in being in a relationship like they were in before. And so, some of the similarities of their past relationship impacts their current endeavor. So they may feel, you know what, I don't know, because this, you know, it started out the same way. He said the same thing. He did the same thing you're doing. And so they make that comparison and contrast, and they think that that's a red flag, instead of looking at it as the commonality of courtesy. He's being cordial and nice to you. Well, are you going to judge that? That's the reason why some women will take that initial consideration, believe it or not, as a red flag, as something negative. This is why you see a lot of women tell guys that they're too nice, because what they're used to is failing and losing. It's too good to be true. Well, it is if you're expecting failure. If you already have that in the cards, why even try? Why even bother? So, let's go to the first aspect of this. Identifying the problem. This is one of the most difficult things for a person to do with a partner who has a lot of insecurities. The reason being is that people don't like being called out on a weakness, on a vulnerability. They'll protect it. They'll be the first to tell you, oh, I'm not insecure. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not that type of person. And indeed they are. And the reason why they do this is because it's embarrassing. It's something that they can't conceal, something they can't manage. See, we all have insecurities. We all have habits. We have addictions. And we have to manage them within reason in order to function. Many of you have heard of the functioning alcoholic, the functioning drug addict. I've worked with some of those people. Been on jobs with them. They'd go and drink a damn fifth of Jack Daniels and come to work and do everything precisely correct. And you're sitting there and you're telling them, hey, you know, you need to watch your drinking. Well, that's in my private life. When I'm at work, I can compartmentalize. You can't get them because they're not drunk at work. But when you get off work, you're seeing all the Jack Daniels bottles in their cars. But really, you know, that's on their own time. But what you have to remember about these folks, they will defend that insecurity. Now, the problem is when you identify it, dealing with the deniers, the people that are not going to own it, What do you mean I'm insecure? I'm not insecure. See, you're talking about something you don't know. You're trying to put this on me. And you're just like the rest of the other men I've dated, or you're just like the other women I've dated. You're probably cheating on me. You probably will cheat on me. They will come in with these accusations early because this is part of their defense mechanism, part of their defense strategy. Let me deflect and accuse. Because as long as I can do that, I have that person on the opposite end of the argument. This is a defense mechanism that they use. Now, the first thing I would tell you if you're dealing with an insecure person, if they don't acknowledge their insecurity, and I'm talking about a person who really feels vulnerable, like you're going to use them, or in some way they have some sort of reservation, they're afraid of getting hurt. If they don't acknowledge the fact that they have this fear, that is a red flag for you not to get into a relationship with them. Because at this point, what they're going to do is deny it and blame. You remember I had a podcast about blame, shame, and guilt. And you guys can look it up on Spotify or whatever platform you're listening on. And it's all about the projection of. In other words, let me turn around the conversation from talking about me to talking about you. Some of them will even take the posture of you're bullying them about identifying the problem. But see, there are certain things you have to realize about a person who's like this. They feel as though they're being singled out many times when you're pointing out an obvious issue that they really have no control of trying to manage. And they're embarrassed by this. And so they become very defensive. They'll put up the shield. They'll put up the wall to protect themselves. You don't know me. You don't know anything about me. You don't know how I am. And the reason why they're posturing like that is because of the fact that they may have to actually deal with that. And that's a problem. So an insecure partner will more than likely become very defensive when you start identifying what the problem is. And they're going to try to deflect just like a mirror onto yourself. But you're probably insecure too. And here's what they usually will do. They will tell you everything that they don't want in a relationship. I don't want a cheater. I don't want a liar. I don't want someone to put hands on me. I don't want this and I don't want to do that. I don't want this kind of person. And what they're actually telling you are the things that they tolerated in past relationships. They're purging some of the very things they let go on in past relationships because of one thing. They stayed in a relationship entirely too long until it turned toxic. And they don't want to admit a lot of times their complicit nature in that relationship to cause that environment to take place. Oh, they're going to talk about the ex-husband or the ex-wife or the ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend. But they're not going to own their portion of it. And that's where you run into problems. A person who does own it and identify it is just like an alcoholic. When an alcoholic can say, I'm an alcoholic, my name is so-and-so, I attend AA, and I will always be in recovery for the rest of my life. When they can openly admit that and identify what they are and what they're dealing with, those people do far better. My friends that were in AA, many of them were successful, and they made it. They were able to keep on because they identified the problem. They externalized it where they could look at it objectively and not defend it. You know, it's just like you have a kid that's a criminal and you go into court all the time and you're telling the judge how wonderful this kid was And you're bringing in pictures of when they were 9 years old on the football team, but now they're 35 and a criminal. Because what these people learn to do is to distance themselves from the addiction and look at it objectively. Well, it's the same thing with insecurity. But they'll come in with all these standards. Well, you can't be doing this, you can't be doing that. I don't want you looking at any other women. I don't want you flirting with any other women. What they're doing is they're projecting their insecurity onto you to modify your behavior. And they have no right to do that because they're just starting a relationship with you and they don't know anything about you. So that's a privilege that's unearned that they expect to have, such as an entitlement to curtailing your life in order for you to date them. That's not your job. That's their insecurity, not yours. Now, here's the thing. In order to go forward, you can support them through their insecurity. But you have to be careful not to be accommodating. And that's key. And we'll talk about that next. Now, when it comes down to support, there are a couple of things you have to also realize. Most people that are dealing with insecurities, it has a lot to do with emotional abandonment. Not always, but oftentimes it is. They feel as though they've been neglected, abandoned, overlooked, marginalized. Now, when it comes down to supporting people that are dealing with this kind of condition, let's understand a few things. One of them is that you want to listen to the partner and find out the extent of their insecurity. The next thing you want to do is to ask them, how can I accommodate you within reason? Please use that term, accommodate you within reason to assist you with this. The reason why I say that is because some people, their fears will be unreasonable. I don't want you hanging around any of your friends. I don't want you to have any female friends. I want to go through your phone every day. I want to put tape on the hood of the car. And if it in any way is disrupted, I know you've worked on the car, or you did something with the mileage. Because the reason why I say that, you got to watch out for paranoia. So, you're giving them reassurance by saying, okay, what can I do to assist you? You remember that laundry list that I gave you in the first segment about certain things that they wouldn't want you to do? And you have to figure out how you're going to comport your behavior in life according to something that would coincide with their comfort. A lot of people voluntarily do this without thinking them through and actually filtering out what is reasonable and what's unreasonable. Now, here's the thing that I will tell you when you're dealing with these types of relationships. You want to support them, but here's the thing. Always have leeway for a professional to come in and really assist you if it's more of an extreme measure that you're dealing with. Don't try to go it alone. Don't try to go and wear yourself out trying to deal with that. They're chronically accusing you of cheating, chronically accusing you of disrespecting them because you're having a conversation with someone of an opposite gender. Because see, what you have to remember is they contributed to the way they feel about themselves and that insecurity. They fed that insecurity. That's the reason why it has so much sway in their lives. It didn't get there overnight. It got there over time and through experience. Now, this means that as you're dealing with this person, you want to see how you can help them. And certain things, and this is where compromise comes in relationships. What can you compromise on? What's a non-starter? One thing I will tell you, if you're getting involved with an insecure person, do not allow them to isolate you. That is one of the key things that they like to do. They want to isolate you. They want to check your phones. Because see, the way they look at it is that insecurity will lead to them thinking that if I can control this person, that will be my security, because I can make things happen the way I want them to and not let them be out of control like they were in my past relationships. Because see, what they want is to be able to control the behavior and reactions of the person they're with sometimes. And you have to draw the line and say, you know what? Your insecurity stops there. You're not going to control my life. I will assist you with this, but this is still your problem to contend with. I will work with you and support you in this endeavor to help you, but I'd be damned if I'm going to inconvenience my life completely over your insecurity, because you're impeding my growth in the relationship. And you have to express that to them, because if not, you know, like a lot of you write in about how you don't want your parents to control your life by arranged marriages, or how you don't want the church to dictate who you're supposed to be with or how you live your life. Well, that's what you run across, unfortunately, with people who have this disposition, because they want to have that sort of control over you. You want to work with them in a relationship, but the thing is, you don't want to accommodate the insecurity that they have. They're going to have to learn how to manage it. Because if they don't manage it, it's going to manage you and your relationship with them. So that's something that you have to work on with them. And do not feel as though you're alone. Suggest counseling if it's more extreme. If they refuse counseling, it's up to you to make the decision. But I tell you, it's a no-winner if you're going it along with that person, because that person and their addiction have been together longer than you have known that person. And that addiction has more of a closer relationship with them and that insecurity I'm talking about than you have. So the only thing you're going to wind up doing here is becoming an adversary. So you got to look at it this way. The choice you make at that point, I'm not going to counseling. I don't need counseling. All right. Well, I don't think I need you and your insecurity, because it's going to impede my life. And you have to look at it that way. And this is how a lot of people get in trouble. They fall in love with the person. Ambiguous term. And so they accept everything that comes along. And then when it comes down to this, that's when they get serious and say, well, wait a minute. You know, what's all this shit? No, you have to start dealing with it initially. Because if you don't, you're going to find yourself in harm's way. Hey, you know what? This is bigger than me. This insecurity is out of hand. You're accusing me because I come home from work 5 minutes late. You're saying that I'm cheating. And you try to explain to them, and you try to be as transparent as possible to support them. And see, that's the key. But see, where the problems come in is when you're transparent, they know where you are, they know what you're doing, and you're not doing anything wrong. When they start speculating, they start assuming, they start accusing. Let me see your cell phone. Let me see who you've called. Let me go through your photo gallery. That kind of thing. Folks, let me tell you something. When a person's asking for your phone in a relationship, your relationship is really over. They don't trust you on your own integrity. And you're foolish enough to stay in that relationship with them. If you're cheating on them, what's the use of being with them in the first place? So this is one measure that you really have to look at. Now, other supportive measures with this. You're going to need support on your side as well. So if they're talking about, well, you got to get rid of your friends, I want you all to myself. That kind of, no, no. That's a non-starter. The reason why is because in normal relationships, guess what you don't have to do? You don't have to forfeit your friends. You introduce your friends to your partner. And then after they've gotten to know them a bit, they can make their own assessment. But what these people want you to do is to blindly get rid of your partner before you've had the chance to even introduce them, because they look at everyone else besides you as a threat. I'm going to take you out of the world, but I don't want anything associated with you to be there. But these very same people will want to introduce you to their set of friends, their set of family members. They want to skew everything on their side of the equation, because that's their security. And you will find as people get older, they become a little bit more insecure. Reason being, you got life changes such as aging that they're going through. You got things such as they did not accomplish some of the goals that they wanted to in life. They still may have a bucket list that they haven't even started on. And in some cases, they feel cheated because they didn't get an opportunity. And these are all feelings that these people host. And so you have to make that determination. They may not have felt as though they were good enough to do something. Because one of the manipulative things that people do in relationships is to make people feel less than. And so they may have that complex. And when they get to you, they feel as though nothing they do is good enough. And therefore, as they see it, they look at you as a critic. And so they are coming in with the assumption, with a self-deprecating approach about how they're not good enough, and you could get somebody better than me, somebody that's finer than me, someone that's this. You go down the list, someone that's richer than me. It depends on whatever they're trying to compare themselves to in regards to that insecurity that they may have. And so with that, the only way you can support them is through transparency. Now, and that's through your behavior and through the lack of speculation. Well, you're treating them just like you're treating anybody in a regular relationship. But here is the thing you have to also understand. Some of these people have been so damaged, they've never been in a conventional functioning relationship. And the only thing they've been in is in a dysfunctional one. So dysfunction may be the only thing they know. So that's the reason why you're too good to be true. You're too nice. Because they know what it's like to be in a messed up relationship. Because that's just like, you know, their own stomping ground. And this is the reason why some of you guys, when a lady breaks up with you and she says that you're too nice, a lot of times it's based on that premise and nothing else. They're used to the bad boy. They're used to being dogged out. They're used to being treated like crap by a jerk. Excuse me. Oh, man. What you'll also find is that a lot of these women have dated jerks throughout their lifetime. Not just one or two. Oh, no. It's a series. And you'll start seeing patterns of behavior resulting from that. And it has a lot to do with sometimes they get to a point where they think that's all they deserve because that's all they know. And of course, that doesn't help a relationship at all. But as I told you before, the one thing to keep in mind is this. You have to have your own boundaries as far as assisting with that. You have to know your limitations as to what you can do. Because you can immerse yourself in all of these standards and requirements that they may have in that relationship. And what that's going to do is mess you up. Where your friends, your family, everyone else is going to say, wait a minute, you've changed. But you didn't make that voluntary change. You changed for that person to accommodate. And there's a difference. See, if you're making a voluntary change, you're usually making a change for your benefit. But if you're making a change for the benefit of someone else and you get nothing out of it, what do you get instead? Frustration, animosity, regret. And this is what you have to really consider and think about as you go forward. What is the value of your relationship? How much did you have to give? You see, when you go into this stage of supporting, you also have to look at the measure of compromise you have to make for this person. Is it a situation where you have to be isolated? Is it a situation where you got to call them every 15 or 20 minutes because they need the attention so badly? Is it a situation where they have to know everybody that you know? Is it a situation where they have to investigate everything you do? And they have no reason or suspicion. They just do it under general principle because they're used to making poor judgments and poor decisions on partners that they acquire in life. That's a problem that they're dealing with. Nothing that you initiated. You just started the relationship. You don't have a track record of any kind of bad behavior, but they make the assumption that you do. Guilty until proven innocent. It's the way they look at it. So before you back yourselves into this type of relationship, understand what you're getting involved with. She may have issues about her body, about her health. He may have issues about him not achieving certain things in life, not becoming wealthy enough or good enough, or being rejected by women over time where his self-esteem is so low that, hell, you'd have to pick his pants up in order to cover it. This is what happens. And so you have to really think it through and really look at it logically. Now, when you get into a relationship, a lot of times you don't think about these things. And you don't notice the red flags. Ladies, you go on the first date with a guy, and he's telling you what you're going to eat at the restaurant. He takes the menu and orders for you and never give you a chance to speak or even interact as far as what you would want. You have a male waiter. He's telling the waiter, I'm ordering for her. You don't talk to her, you talk to me. Ladies, that's insecurity at its finest. He's intimidated by any other male interacting with you. It's not going to get any better. That's not love, that's insecurity. But you're thinking, oh, he's the romantic man, he's taking care of things for me. No, what he's doing is he is grabbing the reins of power and control in the relationship immediately. And many of you don't see it because under tradition, men have always been that leader. But the worst thing in the world you could do is get an insecure man. Because then you're going to be accused of cheating and everything else. And the reason for that also is that it's deeply embedded that there's an envy of women with some men. You have more choices than we do. You have more choices in men than we have in women. So therefore, he feels as though, hey, you had easy streak in this world. You could go and just be the damsel that's homeless and a man will take you in and take care of you. If I'm homeless as a man, I can't do that. I don't get that luxury. So therefore, there's a sense of envy that he may still have resonating because he might have lost his woman to another man based on those circumstances, based on his lack of attention. And so therefore, he's not going to modify his behavior. The only thing he's going to do is double down because that's all he knows. And where does all of this start from? It starts from home. And then it works its way out. Now, in the next segment, we're going to talk about something that's very obvious. And what that is spending time together. One moment. Thank you.
Hi, it's nice meeting you. I'm Jocelyn. And from what I understand, I guess we're supposed to be going out on a date tonight, right?
Oh, hi, Jocelyn. I'm so sorry. I was intending to call you because I couldn't find a sitter.
Aw, so this is your cat. Nice little kitty. Oh, and I see you have a lovable dog, too. What's his name? Well, down boy. Oh, and I see you have a little baby also. Wow.
Now, one way to foster reassurance with your partner is the quality time you spend with them. That means making time for them. And usually, it's something that is against the norm of what they're accustomed to. In their past relationships, that person didn't have time for them. They spent that time with other people, with friends, with family, with other women or other men. But they have the attention of you now. And what that does, it kind of soothes that insecurity that they had of feeling abandoned. Now, with this, you still have to have boundaries, because you don't want it where you're dealing with a needy or insecure person that's saying, okay, you spend all of your off time from work with me. I want you to start working fewer hours, even spend more time with me. You have to watch that, because after all, bills still have to be paid. But in some cases, their insecurity is so evident that what they're going to do is go so far as to say, I don't want you on that job because I don't like the girl that you work with, or I don't like the boss because she's female and she may decide to make a move on you. And what they're trying to do is to get all of your non-sexual attention focused on them. They want to be the cat's meow. They want to be the majority of your time spent. So you have to measure that out and have it scheduled. Okay, on Fridays, we're going to go to dinner. On Saturday, we're going to go and do this. On Sunday, we're going to do this, or something like that, where they know they have a segment of your time where it's being spent with them. And what you're doing is you're putting limits on it, because see, the insecurity requires no limits. That insecurity wants it all the time, whatever it is. Now, certain traditional things that people do in relationships. They'll give a green light for anything that goes on that their partner wants. You might want to reevaluate that, because some things may be unhealthy or even degrading that person may sign up for, or that you may sign up for with them. Be very careful about what you agree to on those compromises. And remember one thing. Your tolerance is the other person's acceptance. Because they're going to throw that back in your face and say, well, you know, you tolerated it. Now, the other thing too is this. That can also work in reverse. You're making more time for them. But guess what they may be doing? Making less time for you. And the reason why this is a common reaction for people who have been in relationships where they were felt emotionally abandoned. They preoccupied themselves with other things. And The only thing you are is just a person going through the same routine that they treated their partner with. That was their defense mechanism. And so you may go and say, okay, well, you know, this weekend we're going to Big Bear and we're going to go camping. And she may say something like, well, honey, you know what? I don't think so. I'm going to spend this weekend with my family, with my girlfriends. And the reason why they're doing this is because this is what they were accustomed to doing when they were coping in the relationship, which means that they don't have enough confidence in your relationship with her in order to really devote the time, because they feel as though it could be taken away. And this is part of the trauma that they experience. They feel as though everything that's happening that's good for them, there's going to be a bad ending to. And so what they want to do is to measure their losses. And the way they do that is by pulling back emotionally to a certain degree. Because, see, they want to always be able to say, aha, I knew it wasn't going to work. Because that's their reassurance that they have for something negative happening. Because the expectation for some of them is to have a negative outcome. They actually cope with that better than they would with a positive one. Because a positive one, they probably don't know how to deal with because they never won before. So they don't know what it feels like. And in some cases, they don't want to know what it feels like. So it all depends on that level that that person's willing to accept. Now, by spending this time with them, you start introducing boundaries and limits. What are some of those boundaries you could set? Well, for one thing, we're going to put it this way. I'm not going to call you every 15 minutes at work. I'm not going to let you check my cell phone. And just be candid with them. If I decide to leave the relationship, you'll be the first to know. I'm not going to sit here and cheat behind your back. Just be as transparent as possible with them. And we'll talk about things. We'll work things out if we have problems. I'm not going to sit here and call somebody else and talk to them about the problems that I'm having with you or you're having with me, I hope. And by doing this, you're setting boundaries. Because usually when they come out of these bad relationships, guess what has gone by the wayside? Their values, standards, and boundaries. That's the reason why they're upset with themselves. Because they allowed things to happen to them that they normally wouldn't have allowed to happen to them under normal circumstances. And they feel as though they don't have any control, so they have to go and try to grab control of the new person that comes into their lives and indoctrinate them into the way that they're going to deal with their insecurity. Now, the other thing here is when you're dealing with these folks, they may have an issue with boundaries. Well, why can't I do this? Why can't I be with you here? Why can't I? And it's like what you're trying to do is to get them where they become more secure in their own choices and judgment. And this is one of the hardest parts for many of them. Because the obvious thing is, if I control somebody else, I can control the way the relationship goes. If the person wants to be with you, they will come back to you. They're not going to leave you. And if you squeeze them too tightly, they leave as soon as you release. A lot of these older guys that date these younger women, once they're insecure, they start accusing the young girl of cheating. And she may be as faithful as I don't know what, but she's like, I'm tired of being accused of it. Fuck it, I'm going to go and cheat. And then he may get upset because of the fact that he's retired. And she's going out there going to UNLV or going to college or whatever, trying to better herself. And he's thinking the whole time that, oh, she's out there messing around with no proof, no evidence or nothing. Just because an errant mind is going in that direction. And he starts treating her accordingly, like she's cheating. And she's looking at it. I'm supporting him. I'm transparent. He knows where I am. He knows what I'm doing. He knows my friends. He's met all the people that are important to me in my life. And yet he's still accusing me of something that I didn't do. And of course, some people get tired of that and they say, well, fine. He's having that expectation. Let me go and cheat. Let me go do the things that I was accused of. And of course, it's a zero-sum game. Because the guy then says, well, see, I told you so. I knew you were a cheater. And she's like, yeah. And the reason why I did it is because you pushed me to that level. Oh, don't blame me for that. Oh, yes. But people who have dignity and integrity will say, you know what? I'm leaving you for falsely accusing me of something I didn't do. I'm not going to sit here and deal with you on that level when I could be with someone else who does not have the issues you have with your insecurity. And the relationship will work a lot better. And the only thing they're going to say is, see, I told you so. Because at a point, they try to always be right. Because that insecurity has a grip on them, unlike any other thing in their lives. And they want to be right. And you will find people that are like that. They think it, so they think it exists. They believe it. I remember a lady accused me of cheating one time. And she was like telling me all these things over the phone. Yeah, you're probably with that woman now and blah, 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 blah. And she's going on and on and on. Guess where I was? I was at her mother's house. Her mother needed me to go to the store for her and grab some things. I didn't even qualify. I just put her mother on the phone. I said, could you talk to your daughter? Well, Mom, I didn't know. And here's the sad thing. She had to be right. Oh, I guess you're trying to move on my mom. Girl, your mom's a diabetic in a wheelchair. You haven't gone and got groceries for her in months. She had to pay people to drop groceries off. Ask people at the church. Went and got the woman groceries and got accused. And you know what? That was the last conversation we had. Until her mother died, I would go check on her, see how she was doing. And she was like, well, I don't know why you're going over there to see my mama. After all, you're not related to her. And I told her, I said, you know, your mom needs some help. Well, that's my family, blah, 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 blah. I worked with her brother, who was out of state. He had flown in to L.A., put his mom in a nursing home. He was so mad at his sister, he didn't know what to do. When I met her, she told me about her mom. She introduced me to her and everything, and I thought she was a loving daughter. Psh. Mother couldn't wait for her to leave the house because she was always begging for money. But she would always talk negative about her mom when we were together. My mom just threw away a lot of money. My mom did this, my mom did that. That wasn't the case. Her mother had given all she could to her, and this girl basically pissed it off every step of the way. At the funeral, she was the only fool in there, falling down, crying, and going all over the casket and all that shit. Her brother and the rest of the family members, they looked at her. Not one family member got up to pick her up off the floor. You see, folks, you deal with people sometimes that have other trauma going on And what that insecurity that that woman had was that she knew she had treated her mother poorly. And she had that resentment. And she wanted me to be the whipping boy for all of her issues. It was her mother that called me to bring her groceries that day. Because when she called her daughter was never available. Sad. Pathetic. What you will learn is that when it comes down to spending time with your partner with that insecurity, you also need to go forward and progress. Have a plan going forward. Because you can't be a therapist, but what you can do is you can guide them to a little bit more reassurance between the two of you. And it's up to them to decide when, okay, I'm past that level of trepidation and fear. And sadly, there are some people that never get past that because they take that baggage on with them. Just like somebody that has passed away and they're carrying the body with them, going through life. Instead of burying the corpse, they're taking it with them. And it's weighing them down. And what happens with bodies when they start to decompose? They stink. And that's the personality of that person. It starts to stink. And then people start to go away. And this is what's happening in many of those situations. And these are the very people that will go right back on their dating app and call everybody else a jerk, everybody else a loser. And they go through that same cycle of repetitive behavior based on that insecurity. We're going to talk more in just a moment. All right, now we're on the level of boundaries. This is the fourth element. Now, with these boundaries, they have to be firm and solid. No, you're not checking my phone. No, you're not going outside to check the odometer on my vehicle. That's when the tough love comes in. This is when they have to go against the insecurity that has prevailed starting in the relationship. So let's look at what you've done so far. You've identified the problem. You've told them how you would support them. And if you needed extra help, about the option of going to counseling. You started to spend more quality time with them within reason. All of this is within reason. And now you're setting boundaries within reason. This has to do more with your self-respect, dignity, and integrity. You see, here's what happens with most people that get into a situation where the man is insecure. He makes her drop all of those boundaries. You're going to do as I say. You're going to serve me as I wish. Let me see your cell phone. You're probably talking to somebody. Who is Brad? That kind of madness. You know, you were getting off work about 15 minutes late. Where did you go for those 15 minutes? I want you to count for those 15 minutes. That kind of thing. And you ladies will give in thinking that that's going to just shut him up. That's going to make it a little bit more easier for us to coexist. But what you're actually doing is you're giving him more control. Not necessarily him. The insecurity more control. So you have to set those boundaries, both men and women. My phone is off limits because the phone is like my toothbrush. and start identifying the things where those boundaries are going to be. You're not going to accuse me of something unless you have evidence, factual evidence, not your speculation, not your assumption, not your feelings, not your beliefs. And you also have to make them cognizant that you believe them. As a result. Because some will get comfortable in thinking that, oh, you're not going to leave. So you have to make that abundantly clear. Your rules and standards. The germaphobe that I told you that I dated years ago, she wasn't born that way. She became that way because of the guy that she was with. He would falsely accuse her of the house being filthy when it wasn't. She had cleaned that house from top to bottom. And she would always tell me. He would accuse me of it. Even if he went into the room and spilled coffee, he'll say, well, why is the coffee on the floor? And she'd go in there and clean it, and then he'll come back an hour later and say, well, you know, you missed the spot. Clean the whole kitchen again. And as a result, by the time I met her, she was compulsive obsessive. Drinking a Coca-Cola, and she's shaking the can every 5 seconds to see if I'm done. Based on what she was exposed to in a past relationship. Taking on those characteristics in order to appease him. And this is one area that many people make their mistakes in these types of relationships. When you start appeasing, their expectations are, oh, well, you're just going to comply all the way with my condition. You got to remember, you have equity in that relationship. So it never should be a situation where you're starting to feel less than. They have all the answers. Some of them may set boundaries where I speak, you listen. Or when you go and you ask a question, they'll say, oh, I'm talking. Don't interrupt me. Those kind of things. You got to set those boundaries when it comes down to communications. The way you're going to be considerate of each other. How you're going to resolve conflicts. And let me tell you something that people will do. They will leave during a disagreement. You don't know where they've gone, and then they'll come back accusing you of cheating and everything else. And they could be the one doing it. So you have to set the boundaries. No hitting, no name calling. All of these things you have to set so they will understand where you're coming from. Because if you don't, they're going to go through their habitual routine like they've done in past relationships. And these boundaries and standards are to be respected. Because the only thing you're asking for is mutual respect from them. And sometimes they don't have respect for themselves, so how can they have respect for you? Because they've come out of relationships where they didn't get that respect. So there has to be a level of understanding and comprehension. And you need to establish those things. So these boundaries we're talking about has to do with your own humanity. You see, the goal of a relationship is this. I know a lot of people say it's love and all that, but it's also larger than that. The goal of a relationship is to keep as much of you intact as possible, that's acceptable to others, so that if you were to leave that one, you will be marketable again. You keep as much intact as you can. You will have to make some compromises, but guess what you don't have to do? change yourself completely to accommodate that person. There should be characteristics that should be a standard as you go into that relationship that complies with your values and your standards, your boundaries, your self-respect and dignity. These are things you have to keep. Because I've dated so many women, when they have gotten out of marriages and relationships, they didn't have any of that. They were trying to find themselves once again, trying to figure out what the fuck happened to me. And I would ask them, comparing to where you were when you first got into that relationship to now, what are some of the things you noticed that have changed on you? First thing they say, oh, I'm wiser. Okay, that's well and good. But what are some of the characteristics from when you first got into the relationship that you would have kept, that you let just go neglected after you got out? And they would list off a whole bunch of things. Because that's what happens to both men and women. And many of them find that they repress their voice, their feelings, their emotions. Well, you've given up your form of communication. How in the hell is the relationship sustaining? Because you got unidirectional communication from your partner telling you what to do. And every time you try to communicate, they're not listening. Or they're coming up with some sarcasm. Oh, here we go again with another argument. Oh, I don't even want to talk to you right now. And that sets the expectation for them to go forward for failure. Now, the other thing we have to realize with these boundaries, you have to enforce them. Hold them accountable. And some of them feel as though, wait a minute, you're getting too much power. No, they're used to people who they could disrespect because they were accustomed to be disrespected. And this is what you have to establish. And then you also have to work with that partner to set new boundaries and restrictions on the relationship in general. Ladies, if your man has cheated on you in the past, let me tell you something not to do. Preemptively accusing him of cheating. He will find another woman to confide in. And once he's done that, you've lost his trust. When you've lost his trust, he's going to trust that other woman more than he'll ever trust you again. And when that happens, he's going to purge to her. And she'll know every weakness that you have. And at some point, he's there for her taking. Only accuse someone of cheating when you have empirical evidence. You catch them, you see them. And that's it. Or you have some sort of evidence that they did cheat. They don't want to be accountable. And like with any relationship, why are you going to sit there and accept the disrespect? Because you got to remember, when a person cheats on you and you catch them, that doesn't go away. You don't forget it. You forgive. And what forgiving is nothing more than just an easy notion of making your consciousness feel better. Forgiveness is more about you than it is them. What you're actually doing really is forgiving yourself for the choice you made and the person you chose. still doesn't change the fact that that person cheated. Still doesn't change the fact that you feel disrespected. Still does not change the fact that the person has the ability to do it again, does it? And so what happens in the relationship? You're batting down the hatches. You want more accountability from that partner. And now your insecurity feels as though, hey, you know what? I'm valid now because I caught them cheating. Now you need to give me more influence in the relationship. So now we're going to go outside and check the odometer. We're checking your phone. And then what you'll wind up doing is managing the person like a prisoner or an inmate, as opposed to being in a relationship, because the integrity and the trust is gone. So you have a shell of a relationship at that point. And yeah, you go to counseling. He might even say, or she may even say, I'm sorry, it won't happen again, et cetera, et cetera. But you have to remember, it happened once. I'm sure if you went out in the ocean in a black scuba suit right off the coast of Pismo in California and a great white happened to bite you, doubt if you say, I'm sorry. Probably bite you and say, oh, you're too skinny, you don't taste good, you're not like a seal. But then again, he may come back and say, well, hell, blood's in the water, might as well go on and finish the scuba dive off. So please understand that when you have proof, that's a whole different realm, because then you have something to stand on with your suspicions. But if you don't have it and you're trying to manufacture it, or you're trying to stage it like the one lady did, talking about the guy, let me give you a little background on what she wrote. About a year ago, I got an email from a lady, and she lived in Nebraska, and she was single. The man she worked with was married, and he had promised her that he was going to leave his wife. Well, of course, he reneged on that deal, and she still said, okay, we'll still see each other. And what she started doing was leaving things deliberately in his car. Lipstick, earrings, panties, all kinds of things. And the wife found out about it. And that was her way of getting back at him. And so he went through that whole process of trying to get his marriage back together and save it. And then finally, they got divorced. And she was writing me because he had left his wife. He pretty much didn't have much but his job left. And she was debating whether or not she should take him in. But she had won the prize, which was him. But after she won it, she didn't know whether or not she wanted him anymore. And I asked her one question. Did you enjoy the hunt, or did you enjoy the capture? And she wrote back, the hunt. She says, I don't want him now. So it was like a sport for her to see if she could get a man to leave his wife. But she had no intentions of going any further with that. And his wife had gathered all the evidence that was staged by the other woman, and that ended their marriage. And there he was, begging and needing this woman to take him in. And what she admired about the whole situation was she had that power. The power to destroy a marriage and the power to control a man. Where did it come from? An insecurity. Because that married woman was more powerful than she was. She lived in the house he provided. She drove the cars he provided. And what she wanted was a lifestyle comparable to the wife. And so the way she thought she could get a pound of flesh was, I'm not going to go and try to compete with the wife. I'm going to ruin the marriage so it will corrupt the way she lives, and it's going to interrupt their marriage. If I'm not happy, why should they be? But it all started with his insecurity on cheating with this woman. He wouldn't have jeopardized his marriage, and that woman wouldn't have had access to sabotage the marriage. He allowed that to happen. You have to remember, when you're dealing with relationships and it gets to a point where there are no boundaries and no rules, both parties could be a detriment to each other. So you have to have these agreed rules and boundaries, these standards. I get a lot of email from people who are in all kinds of lifestyles, open marriages, open relationships. And they run into conflict because there are some things that are not covered under their boundaries and rules. And then they go in and manufacture a new rule, and the person's mad because, hey, wait a minute. We were okay doing this, but why can't I do this? Why can't I bring the person home with me when you're not here? We never covered that. And see, that's the problem with many of those types of relationships. There are so many different things that have to be meted out. When you have another party in your life, you complicate things. Much easier when you have two people. Of course, you only have to look at one other person. But when you have different people in a relationship, it's a whole different thing. You could have a situation where, hey, the only thing you're doing is just sleeping with someone outside the marriage, but you and your spouse are still together, and that spouse has a girlfriend, you have a boyfriend, and then it comes down to one time where maybe your boyfriend and his girlfriend wind up sleeping together and wind up dating. And both of you are pissed off and jealous about that because they now are a couple. And you had all of these boundaries for four people. Look, it's hard enough to control yourself. Trying to control multiple people, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. There was a swingers couple that wrote in. The husband wrote in. And he had a falling out with one of the other guys that he and his wife used to swing with. He had bought a vehicle from him, and he realized he had paid too much for it. And something happened with the vehicle where it didn't function, and he was suing the person in civil court. Small claims court. Well, the wife was still sleeping with this guy. Husband found out about it, confronted the wife. The wife asked for a divorce. Husband, of course, was going to fight it, wasn't going to give it to her. So she took it upon herself to ask the guy if it was okay if she could move in with him and his wife, because they'd all been sleeping together anyway. They agreed, added fuel to the fire. Unnecessary drama. But this is what happens in many of those situations. Now, does it happen to everyone that's in that lifestyle? Of course not. But you can never control how a person will react. You don't know. You can only go on past behavior. That's the reason why when some of you guys are cheating with these married women, she's quick to tell you, oh, my husband, I don't worry about him. I got that already taken care of. Because usually women will plot out their strategy a lot better than men. It's not uncommon for the wife just to walk in upon the guy because he doesn't care. But the woman, she's planning it out. She's married. She's going to go out and make sure she doesn't get caught. Unless she falls madly in love with the guy and doesn't care about a marriage. But that's rare. Only 1 or 2% of women who do that, that are married, actually go through with the whole process of divorce. Most don't. And they cheat for a very short period of time. So, folks, this means that these boundaries that the two of you set as a couple have to be upheld. That person with the insecurity has to learn to respect some norms that maybe were not established in the past relationship. Because they've been accustomed to just being in chaotic situations. And you're going to have to advise them that, hey, there needs to be some structure here in some kind of way. We're going to continue on next.
Good morning, how are you? I am ready for my results. Give me the bad news.
Good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing today? Yes, I'm your advisor, and I have looked over your charts, and what I can conclude, ma'am, is this. My prognosis was right about your situation. After looking at the x-rays and looking at your labs, ma'am, you need some dick. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this, and I'm going to have to write you a prescription for it, is because you have been dick deficient for several years. I understand you had 12 years of celibacy. But what has happened now, you need a good deep orgasm to get all of that backed up tension out of your system. Now, what I'm going to recommend is 9.5 inches twice a week. Now, these doses can be given by anyone. We understand that your husband is 4 inches, so no matter how you look at it, you're dick deficient. And we were trying to prevent you from getting dickleosis. When you get that, there are other problems that can take place. Being that your husband is only 4 inches and you need 5.5 inches more, what I've decided to do is give you a full prescription for 9.5 inches twice a week. Now, some of the side effects of this dick prescription you'll get may be some discomfort between your legs. You might have a sore throat. And therefore, there may be some maybe bruising and a little bit of pain until you get used to it. After the first 2 weeks, you should be used to it again. Now, we can treat you on an outpatient basis, meaning you can go into my office over there, bend over, and I can give you your first dose. Or if you'd like, you can leave your phone number and I can go over to your house and give you both doses twice a week. And I'm sure once you've had this, you're going to feel better about yourself. Now, some of the other side effects is after you get your first orgasm, your knees are going to be like noodles. You'll probably get comfortable, want to fall in love. But I wouldn't recommend that. Reason being, you'll be addicted to the dick. And you'll have a dick addiction. And we don't want you just like some of the people that are dealing with these opioids right now. We want to make sure that we measure the dick so that you don't overdose. Overdiction is a real condition, ma'am. And we don't want that. We don't want to have to put you in rehab for withdrawals and everything. Now, I'm wondering if you have any questions. If so, I'll be more than glad to answer them.
Will my insurance cover this? Also, will this be generic or name brand?
Good question, ma'am. Your insurance will pay for the procedure. You'll just have to pay your copay. Now, what you can do is get name brand Dick, but you would have to come into the facility. And you just need to go into that room and lift up your hospital gown, and I'll take care of your first dose. Or else you can get generic Dick. And with that, you'll get a cost reduction, and we can send it through the mail, and I'll be able to see you twice a week. So it's up to you. We could do it in-house, or we could do it outpatient, whichever one you desire. But in any case, ma'am, we have to protect you from dickliosis. All right, now here's the biggest challenge to conclude. The avoidance of manipulation. Insecure people, as well as people with addictions, are very adept when it comes down to manipulating their partners. Some will use this deliberately as a weapon. Now, the way this is done is to create a level of hypersensitivity. Their partner is worried about being called out for cheating or whatever. And what they do then is make it a heightened protocol for them to constantly report whereabouts, who they're communicating with, places they're going to be. And the reason being is that that person that's insecure may flip it and use that information in order to create a pattern where they can cheat and be with other people in relationships. Because you may be a person that may not be so manipulated, and they may look at it, oh, they're going to figure me out pretty soon, so let me find someone else. This is not uncommon. Because the whole thing here is they're trying to keep that relationship in a way where their partner is always at a disadvantage. They're always proving themselves, proving their innocence. They're always accused of things. Keep them climbing the hill. Keep them always trying to qualify their existence in a relationship. And by doing so, that partner with the insecurity is actually leveraging that against them. And in some cases, they take the same behavior that was meted out to them and they force it on their partner. And they will say something like, you know, you set up all these boundaries. And they do this by allowing their partner, the new person, to come in and to take charge and to set these things while they sit silently so that they will have a reason to come back and accuse you of control, taking over. And in this way, they look at it from the standpoint of becoming the victim. And now you're the bad guy. And with that, they will leverage that in order to justify anything they do going forward. And what you'll find is that people who are accustomed or entrenched in their habits of behavior will use this on a regular basis as a weapon because it works to their advantage. And with that, they're going to always twist it around and make it seem like they're the victim, you're the person that actually perpetrated it. You know, again, I talked about blame, shame, and guilt. This falls right into that category. They're going to blame you, shame you, and guilt you, especially as you, as the person trying to deal with their insecurities, is accused of. And if they got caught cheating, it's your fault. That's the first thing I'll come up with. You remind me too much of my husband. He was so restrictive. You're just like him. You have all these rules and boundaries up for us to abide by. You should be ashamed of yourself putting me in this position. You know how sensitive I am about these kind of things. I want an apology for you making me do this. A lot of you ladies hear that from guys that have laid hands on you or abused you. It was your fault. You shouldn't have made me mad. You should treat a man right, and this wouldn't have never happened. Now I might have to go to jail, because if you call the police, I'm going to be locked up. And you and the family are going to starve. Even though he was in the wrong, he projected that guilt on you, that blame, that shame, in order to make you feel like he does, so that you will forgive him. And once you've done that, he feels as though it's justified. Oh, I got away with it one time. I know the playbook now. I just use this every time. And then a lot of it has to do with gender as well. Because there's some people that also look at the gender of the person, their preferences for the person they dated, the gender of the person, the race of the person, and therefore that equals to the treatment of that person based on those things. This is the reason why sometimes you'll see a minority woman who was married or dated a minority man, and she has these insecurities stemming from the bad relationship she's had. And she will treat a minority man worse than she would a Caucasian man or a man of another race. And no matter what that partner does in order to try to redress some of the insecurities, it's never going to work, because that's where she's fixated. That's how you get these people with the attitude, oh, I don't date no more black women. I don't date no more white men. I don't date no more this or that. It's all about the choices they made. And when you make the same kind of choice for the same caliber of person, no matter about race, but the characteristics of that person, nothing's going to change. You're going to get the same result. That's the reason why a lot of people who are dating, they're dating insanely. The very thing you left is the very thing you got. But what they don't look at are the differences going forward. So they either go to one extreme. I'm going to have red flags because this person has all the characteristics of my ex. Or it's a situation where they'll say, well, I'm only going to date a guy that's a bad boy, or a guy that I already expect for him to be a jerk or an asshole, and I'll try to change him. In either case, they're still outmanned and outgunned. Instead of looking at it from the perspective of, let's go through this incrementally and let's see how things evolve. Where the person acknowledges what's wrong as far as their insecurity. And that person comes up with what they can do on their end to support them, to help them through it, and to measure the results from this assistance. And when they see, okay, we passed the threshold of where my last relationship fucked up, so apparently we're on the right track. And then once you've gone past the expectations of a negative outcome, then you start to become a little bit more optimistic. Some people do. You have others that are fixated on the negative side of it. Something's got to happen. Yeah, the last guy I was with, he was black, and this guy's black, and he's going to do the same thing the other guy did, just waiting. And if it doesn't happen, they're disappointed. They're just like the racists in the South used to be. You'd be the guy with the driver's license, the insurance, and everything in the vehicle. And then they don't have anything legally in order to really detain you for. And they'll say, well, you know, you just look suspicious. You might have participated in some criminal activity. Because you got the characteristics of somebody that would, but I don't have any evidence to prove it. This is the way you're treated in some relationships like that. It's all speculative. But when you're led by your feelings will always fuck you over. See, your feelings, that intuition, that intuitive thinking, that's made for short-term survival skills, really. Somebody yells out, duck, what do? You duck down. Now imagine someone tell you to duck every 5 seconds. You get tired, and after a while, what would you do? You'd do just like you do with a car alarm. You won't acknowledge it anymore. Because it's an imperative. But with your logic, what are you doing? Your analytical mind, you're actually looking at the relationship and seeing how it evolves. And you're starting to notice the differences and the improvements because you're dealing with a different person. But there are some people that are just flat-headed. They don't go that way because they have a predisposition, oh, they're all going to be like this. It's like the person that slept with one person of a different race and then swear that all of them are the same way. Nope. Mm-mm. But it's an easy qualifier for them for their prejudicial convictions. And what they look for is the self-fulfilling prophecy. Something to be true. But it's only speculative. Man, just think if we went through doing that with our space program, or our military, or even our economy in America. Oh, we'd be so fucked. Isn't it wonderful that people have to go with facts and logic and reasoning instead of emotions? We don't void out our emotions, folks. But here's the thing. You have to use the logic and analytical thinking to get to a point where you can be comfortable enough to use your emotions. But people go in relationships in the wrong way. They go in with the emotions and then use the logic after they find out something didn't work out. As I told you before, people will spend more time at a car dealership at 8 o'clock all the way to 5, haggling over an interest rate and a car payment and the features on a vehicle, more so than they would even think about talking to their partner about a relationship that's going to impact their lives far more than a 60-month contract on a car. Because a lot of the changes you're going to make in your life and the adjustments and the compromises are going to last far longer. Because even after you break up with that person, you've already gone through that experience, and part of that's going to be part of your life's portfolio that you got to take with you going forward. That's on your resume. And we don't think of it in that context. And we go with the generic, oh, well, you know, all men are this, all women are this, all. And the only thing you're doing is shooting yourself in the foot. Because you don't take time to pay attention to detail. That's the very first thing I look for as a characteristic in any female partner I'm going to be with. How much does she pay attention to detail? That's a key. That's a strength that women have. Men have it too, but not to the degree women do. I looked at some of the studies about women who can interpret different colors and knew them, and by far they know more colors on the color scheme than we do as men. because they pay attention. They pay attention to detail. Even though statistically they have smaller brains, guess what? Their brains are actually operated more efficiently than men are. They use their brains more efficiently than we do as men. So it's not all about size, is it? So we have to think of it in that context as well. So when it comes down to that partner of yours that you want in your life, and you're dealing with a person who has some serious insecurities and they tell you up front what those insecurities are, you have to make the assessment as to whether or not you're going to go forward. And then you have to have a plan or a strategy in order to work with them on those insecurities. A lot of people don't like it because, oh, that's TMI, there's too much information, too much work, too much headache. And yet, they'll get with someone else and not even realize they're in the same situation and haven't really noticed it. But they've been living in it. Because, see, a lot of times the people that don't like to do the thinking before they get into love, they go through the emotional side of it. And then they start to think after things don't pan out the way they wanted them to. And it's way too damn late then. Especially if you're in by three kids or so, and you got assets that are shared. Yeah, you're screwed. So you have to look at it in that context as well. Sometimes we don't. So what are the takeaways here? If you're dealing with someone that has these issues, and we all do, but the difference is these folks don't know how to manage them as well. Identify the problem. Talk about it. If they're not willing to talk about it, more than likely they're protecting it. That's going to be a problem going in. The next thing, you got to reassure them with your support to assist them with that. But they also have to understand they have to do the work too. It just can't be you. It just can't be on your shoulders. If you need professional help, seek it out. If they refuse professional help and you're finding that it's too overwhelming for you, it may be too much for you. Don't expend your energy that way. Thirdly, you want to spend more time with them, quality time, but with measures. You want them to have some individual time to themselves where they're not consuming all of your time with you. You want it where they can also start trusting them, their own selves, and where you both are at a point where you're doing things independent of each other. You don't want to be saturated and smothered. The fourth aspect of it, you also want to go and think about your boundaries. Set them together. Abide by them. But don't make them so restrictive that you lose your partner in the process. Fourthly, beware of manipulation. There are some people who literally use that insecurity as a weapon. Just like some people use sex as a weapon. Be mindful of it. Well, folks, I got to go. It was a pleasure. Take care. Enjoy. The article is also posted on Facebook.com/Romantic Truth. Music's on Spotify, Apple Music, and Deezer and Amazon Music. Just type in JAUSAN and follow and subscribe. Appreciate it. Take care. I would like to personally thank you for listening to Romantic Truth. You may follow us on facebook.com/romantictruth. You may ask your friends to subscribe to anchor.fm/romantictruth, or you can leave us a message at anchor.fm/romantictruth/message. You may contact us through email at romantictruthpodcast@gmail.com. Take care.
Romantic Truth would like to take this opportunity and applaud our listeners and over 40 countries for their support. If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, available 24 hours.
All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
The views and opinions of this podcast does not reflect those of Romantic Truth, Anchor, Spotify, or any of its affiliates. The opinions expressed are solely those of the host and guests, and should not be deemed as professional guidance, advice, or a professional practice. In the event you may need professional assistance, contact your local federal, state, or county agencies for specific assistance in social services, family counseling, or mental health services. For all medical, legal, and financial services, please contact the appropriate licensed and certified professionals within your region.
The music that is provided on this podcast that is not provided by Anchor is used under waiver by Jawsen One Music for fair use.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.